The Umbrella Mouse by Anna Farger. Read by Catherine Press. Chapter 1. James Smith & Son's Umbrella Shop, London, 1944. The grandfather clock had just struck 5 when Pip Hanway saw Mr. and Mrs. Smith for the last time. Watching them closely, with her whiskers twitching on her cheeks, she peered out from under her umbrella canopy and tightened her tail around the end of one of its metal ribs, hoping more customers would soon visit the shop to tell more stories of the far-flung places she dreamed to see. Mr. Smith was standing behind the long mahogany counter, smiling at his wife as she dusted the umbrellas in the shop window. She fluttered from one umbrella to the next as the June sunlight poured inside, all the time having no idea that a small family of mice were secretly living inside her precious antique umbrella, occupying pride of place at the front of the display. It had once belonged to the first man to use an umbrella in London, Jonas Hanway. His great-nephew donated it to the first James Smith over 100 years before, and when Pip's father's family moved into the building shortly afterwards, they made the Hanway umbrella their home. They became the first English umbrella mice, so proud of their house and its owner that they named themselves after Jonas Hanway himself. Nevertheless, if Mrs. Smith had known they were there, Pip thought with a giggle that crinkled the fur on her nose, she would have pulled up her skirt around her knees, climbed on top of the shop counter, and screeched like a kettle bubbling on the stove. Pip and every other Hanway mouse before her had passed their days in the same way. As the red buses rumbled past the shop on Bloomsbury Street, Pip and her parents secretly nestled together, high up inside their umbrella where it was safe and dark, and when they weren't sleeping, watched customers come inside James Smith & Sons to buy Mr. Smith's handmade umbrellas. The shop was always busy, despite the country being at war for the last 5 years.
"As long as there's rain, there's business,"
Mr. Smith would say, even when there was not a cloud in the sky.
"If we go back to Gignese in the summer, we might melt like the ice cream,"
Mrs. Smith was saying for the second time that day.
"And you know how Peter hates feeling too hot."
She had spoken about Gignese every breakfast, lunch and supper since their son Peter was sent to fight in Normandy 3 weeks before. The little Italian town had the only umbrella museum in the world, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith had been planning to take the Hanway umbrella there for years to organise a special exhibition with the owner of the museum. When Peter came home at the end of the war, they were all going on holiday to see the museum again, high up in the northern Italian hills, where they would eat vibrant food one could only dream of in wartime. Pip grinned mischievously. Mr. and Mrs. Smith didn't know that the Hanway mice were joining them. It was going to be the first time Pip would meet her Italian aunts, uncles and cousins, who her mother had left behind on her own adventure to see the world. She had stowed away inside an antique lace parasol Mrs. Smith had bought for her historical display inside the shop, and it was love at first sight when she arrived and bumped into Papa late one night, nibbling crumbs behind the kitchen bread bin.
"Did you hear that, Papa?" Pip squeaked excitedly. "Ice cream!"
"Shh!"
Mama and Papa scolded from their nest of fluff and old newspaper, cleverly tucked away behind the top notch at the highest point inside the umbrella canopy. And Pip knew why. Many Hanway mice had been snapped in a trap, including their last surviving relative, Great Aunt Marble, who could never resist one last bite of biscuit in the upstairs tea cupboard. Mrs. Smith's ears were as sharp as a bat's, and if she thought she heard the tiniest of squeaks, traps would be hidden throughout the shop and the flat above. But Pip didn't care how noisy she was. She'd never be stupid enough to end up like greedy Aunt Marble. Besides, ice cream and Peter were the best things she'd heard all day, especially after eating another dry crust of Mrs. Smith's wartime loaf of bread. The truth was that she missed Peter as much as Mr. and Mrs. Smith did, even if she had been scared he was going to kill her at first. The first time they met was late one night when she was secretly in his bedroom with her friends Dot and Joe, two black and white mice from the pub next door. Peter never would have known they were there if those two nitwits hadn't started bickering over